I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple, praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all of thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, strengthenest me, with strength in my soul. All the things of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Psalms 138, if correctly read. For as I know, I've never spoken the first night of a conference. Don't speak very much anyhow. Got too many other things going. I can't get time to get ready to preach. But the Lord laid it on my heart to say something to you tonight. And so, rather than having a special guest speaker, he put it on me to speak to you tonight. So you'll have to bear with me and so I can get out of the ditch with God. I'd be afraid not to do what it told me to do. Uses so many things during the day to get straightened out and get you settled down and get you all the camp cranked up, ready to go. Your mind's in such a stir and you don't have the proper time to get aside and meditate and pray. But he put this on me some time ago that I needed to do it. And I learned better than to disobey God. I'm sure there's preachers here that can preach 40 circles around me in a minute that you'd like to hear. But God said you do it tonight. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father tonight, I want to ask you to bless every soul that's come on these grounds today and will come tonight. Thank our Father for being with the people today as they prepared and worked. Thank you for giving strength to the ladies up at the registration desk. They've been under such a strain and stress trying to get everybody in. Strengthen their bodies tonight and clear their minds from the fatigue and the tar they've gone through today. Pray God you'll bless Brother Scott, who's had charge of the kitchen today. Been a lot of strain on him. Rest his body tonight and make him stronger for tomorrow. Then, our Father, we come tonight to pray for one of our deacons, Brother Lawrence Miller, one of the finest men in our church, in such a stronghold, and yet he's sick tonight. Dear God, I pray you'll touch his sick body and loose him from the infirmity. Pray, God, tonight you'll bless Brother Simmons and strengthen him. And, oh, God, bless the others who've come and asked us to pray for them today. Brother John Taylor, yonder in Smithville, Tennessee, has had serious surgery today, and I pray that you'll be with him and help him. And oh God, tonight I pray for everybody in this building tonight. Pray, oh God, that thy Holy Spirit shall have control of everything. Take thy servant and loose his tongue and illuminate his mind and give us holy unction for this hour. And we'll be grateful to you for it because it's in Jesus' name we pray. And for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. In the second verse of the 138th Psalm, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all of thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all of thy name. Then I call your attention to something else. That is, that in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I said in the beginning tonight that one of the threefold purposes of this camp was for a better knowledge of the Word of God. Yeah. I want to talk to you tonight about the Word of God. Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. The word of God stands above the name of God. Because you see, if the word wasn't true, God has no name. Amen. Oh, folks, you say his word is his bond. His word is his bond. That's his life. And if he won't stand for his word, there isn't anything to him. So the Word of God stands above the name of God. If the Word isn't true, then God's not good for us as His bond, as His promise, as His covenant. But I want you to know the Word of God stands above God tonight. God makes it so. He's in position to see that His Word stands, that His Word remains truth. And he tells us to hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. So we realize then, we look again in the book of Psalms 119. And we find in book of Psalms 119 some words I want to call your attention to also. The ninth verse of Psalms 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? It cleanses our young men, the word of God. If you please, my friends, is the most durable thing in the world. The word of God stands when the world won't stand. He said, the heavens and the earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So you don't have to worry about the Word of God getting put out of business. I want to say to you tonight on the authority of this book, that is the Word of God, that heaven and earth will pass away for this Word will pass away. No need to worry about some little jackleg professor or a theologian taking the Word of God and destroying it. He can come near doing away with heaven and hell that he can the Word of God. My friends, we stop to realize the Word of God is the most durable thing in this universe. It's settled forever. It's already settled. God said it, that settled it. Some folks said God said it and I believe it and that settled it. Uh-uh. Whether you believe it or don't, it's still settled. The Word of God is forever, my friends. And some folks trying to unsettle it and trying to do away with it and trying to change it and trying to translate it to mean something else. It don't affect God. A lot of folks so scared, my friends, that somebody's going to destroy the Word of God. The Word of God's here to stay. Now, it was, it is, and it's forevermore. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He's the same today that He was yesterday. He's the same forever. So I want you to know, my friends, nobody's going to unsettle the Word of God. The Word of God is certain, it's settled. Now I want you to know it's a permanent thing. And folks, a lot of people are getting afraid of what's going to happen. They're going to prove something about the Word of God. They're going to prove some things that's not so and is so by the Word of God. You don't prove anything. God said it. That settles it. Amen. I want you to know, my friends, tonight, you don't have to. You go out there and call a mouse an elephant. You didn't make that mouse an elephant because you called him that.
and call the word of God whatever you want to call it. It's still God's word. You can cut it to pieces with your theology, and you can cut it to pieces with your criticism, but it's still the word of God. Matter of fact, my friends, we stop to realize heaven and earth may pass away. Matthew 24:23. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word cannot be changed. It never has been changed. It never will be changed. Amen. It is incorruptible. It cannot corrupt. The word of God is the incorruptible seed. It liveth and abideth forever. Listen what Peter said about it in 1 Peter. We find these words that he's saying about in the 23rd verse of the first chapter, 1 Peter. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God said it. He knew what he's going to say. He's all wise. With all of his foreknowledge and all of his wisdom, he knew what he's going to say before he said it. He said it. He don't have to take it back. It's still so. Amen. The word of God remains the same that it was when God spoke it. Amen. My friends, it's incorruptible. It's indestructible. You can burn up all the scrolls and the paper that it's written on. You can burn up all the wood that it's carved in. You can melt all the metals that it's molded in. You can chisel it all out of the stones and it's chiseled in and erase every spoken word of God. You had an effect of the word of God. God spoke it for it, has ever written or chiseled them or melted or molded. And for you to destroy all the written words and for you to destroy where it's at, you have an effect of the word of God. He spoke it before anybody put it on print. So by the fact that some critics and some skeptics are trying to destroy the word of God, stupid outfits hadn't got sense enough to know that there's been that kind through every generation from Adam till now. 250 stood out on the hillside, scoffed at God and laughed at God and hollered, no hell. God talked about God split the earth open under their feet and they went to hell in their shirt tails before they ever knew what hit them. The word of God is settled forever. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. If you please, my friends, it liveth and abideth forever. That means then if we're born of the word of God, we have an incorruptible life. We have a life that liveth and abideth forever. It's, and my friends, the word is God's far escape for us. He tells us so in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that marvelous promise. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. His word is saying what? I'll not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to stand. And I'll make you able to bear it. And with every temptation, I'll make a way of escape. I want you to know the word of God is the far escape from the burning, scorching temptations that come to us. If you look a devil in the face and look for the way out, God has a far escape from your temptation. You don't have to yield to it. He'll not allow the devil to tempt you above what you're able to stand. And with every temptation, thank God there's a way out of it. Amen. So we stop to realize he is our far escape from the temptations that come upon us. God's word is a far extinguisher for the fiery darts of the devil. He tells us, my friends, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse, that, my friends, the shield of God is our protection, and that he'll give us power over the foreign darts of the wicked one. Here you turn to the word of God, and it's a fire extinguisher for the darts of the wicked. The wicked can come at you and shoot the foreign darts, but give them the word of God. It'll extinguish that fire. and make you go free. We stop to realize it abideth forever and ever and ever. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus. And as a result, He lived among us. And they never put Him out of business. They thought they had Him put out, and they buried Him. But His word was that on the third morning, He'd rise and live again. And He made His word good that morning. On the third morning, He got up and laid His napkin aside that covered His face, and quietly laid aside His grave clothes and folded them up and walked out victorious. And as a result, the devil said, "You just possumed on us. You just played dead." Jesus said, "Once I was dead, now I'm alive. And I hold the keys of death and hell in my hand." Victory over the graveyard. Victory over hell. Victory over the devil. He made His word good. He said, "I'll get up." He got up. He said, "I'm a coming. Glory to God. He'll be here after a while." He never has lied. He ain't going to start now. Word of God, my friends, is the Spirit in our life. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. It was the Word of God that saved me. It is the Word of God that saved you. Not the word of some king or queen. Not the word of some religion. Not the word of some human being. But the Word of God. If you please. We stop to realize faith come by the hearing of the Word of God. I heard the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God saved my soul. And it's still saved. The Word is the only way to be born again. The third chapter, my friends, of the book of John. We have these words. Read it to you. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Nicodemus is a man that had all sorts of religions. But he said, "You got to be born again before you see heaven." My friends, he told me in his word, if I'd get born again, I'd see heaven. Ever since I got born, out yonder in the years ago in 1932 at high noon one day in April, when God saved my soul, I've been seeing heaven ever since. Further down the road I get, the more of it I see. The closer home I get, the more of it I feel. And the nearer the end, the more exciting it is. The Word said it. And the Word has never failed. The Word is forever and ever and ever. It's the only way to be born again. Born of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is incorruptible. It's imperishable. It liveth and abideth forever. I've been born of God. It's the seed of God. And I'm a part of God. I can no more die than God can die. I can no more perish than God can perish. Born of the seed. The seed is Jesus. And you can no more perish than Jesus perish. You can no more die than Jesus died. If the Son of God is forever, I'm forever. If He lives forever, I live forever. Endureth forever and ever and ever and then ever and ever. We look over in the book of James, and we find in the book of James, the first chapter, the 18th verse, "Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." I was begotten by the word of God, not by some creed or ritual or ordinance or religion. I was begotten. by the word of God. I'm still begot. God begot me. God birthed me. And the word said, whatever God does is forever, and you can't take nothing from it, and you can't add nothing to it. The devil tried 1,000 years. He couldn't get me a bit less saved than I am right now. And I can't add anything. When God does it, it's finished. The word of God, born of the word, incorruptible, which abideth and liveth forever. Neither can they die any more, the equal unto the angel, and are the children of the resurrection. I'm as sure to be resurrected as Jesus comes. So are you. My friends, the word of God is truth. He didn't tell me no lie. He told me the truth. He did you too. Said if you'd believe the word, we heard the word, we believed the word, and he saved us, and he sealed us unto the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption. When you say the word of God seals you up, if you please. In other words, if you want to know the truth about it, seal. That means it can't spoil. If it spoiled, it wasn't sealed. I wrote a letter to my friend Pat Zonovan. Wrote on that Pat Zonovan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And put a 15-cent stamp on first class mail. Sealed it up. My secretary carried and put in the post office. Three people handled it down here before it left. Before it got to Mr. Zonovan, about 25 or 30 people handled it. Old ones, young ones, middle-aged ones, good ones and bad ones. Ugly ones and pretty. But all they could do when they got that letter is pass it on. It is addressed to Pat Zonovan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And there's a result of it. There it was. And no matter who handled it, when it got to him, he could break it open. It is his mail. When God saved my soul, the Holy Ghost sealed her up, stamped her out, and put on that God the Father, the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. No matter how many devils handle me, big devil, broke back devil, mean devil, ugly devil, between here and now. Delivered to God the Father, the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. I'm God, sealed up, addressed mail. And the Holy Ghost is God's mail carrier. And he'll get me there unhindered, unhampered. It's his word. The word of God. We read over the book of Titus and we find these words in the book of Titus, the 3rd chapter. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, which is the word of God. And we realize it's not by my righteousness, not by anything I can do, anything anybody else can do. It's what Jesus already did. I heard the word, I believed the word, he saved my soul, the Holy Ghost sealed up and headed me to heaven, and I'll have to go whether I want to or not. you don't want to go to heaven, you change your mind. Besides, you don't want to go to heaven. If you've been saved, it's too late. Change your mind. You're going anyhow. The Word of God teaches us. The Word of God corrects us. The Word of God encourages us. The Word of God satisfies us. The Word of God sanctifies us. The Word of God comforts us. The Word tells us about heaven and hell. The Word is a lamp unto my feet. And the Word is a light unto my path when I go. The Word of God lights me up as I go. I'm not in the dark, I'm in the light of the Word. The Word is a lamp. The Word is a light. To me, in the midst of a dark world of sin and wretchedness and rebellion and stubbornness, I got a light. That light is the Word of God. I got a lamp for my feet to see how to go by. My friends, I got a light. That Jesus, the Word of God, is the light. We stop to realize the Word is the light on our pathway. The Word assures us of a house if this and falls. He said, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to a prepared place for you. When I get it prepared, I'll be back. So I know if I get knocked out of this house, I got another to go to. The Word said, if this earth that could be dissolved to have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, where the termites can't eat, where the wars can't blow up, where the winds can't blow down, where the floods can't wash away, where the earthquakes can't cave in, it's my home. It's your home. He said, I'll go prepare a place for you, a place tailor-made for me, tailor-made for you. It'll fit you when you get there. What's it going to be like? I don't know. He spent 6 days making everything, creating everything you can see in this universe. He's been working on that nearly 2,000 years. He's not through yet. Was he? Be back. Say, what's going to be like? I don't know. It'd blow my peanut brain to try to figure it. It's just so, that's all. He said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. He said, I'm not fooling you. I'm not joking you, and I'm not playing you. If it were not so, I'd have told you. So the Word said he'd come back and carry us to it. One of these days, he'll get around to that when he gets the place fixed. He hadn't got it fixed good enough yet. When he gets it fixed so it'll fit me and make me enjoy it forever and ever and ever and ever in one place, then he'll come and get me and get you. The Word made it possible, my friends. The Word assures me and tells me if this house be dissolved, I got another place. The Word, my friend, assures me that in my prayers are answered. It was the Word of God who said, have faith in God, and you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast it in sin. If you won't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. Amen. Somebody said, Percy, did you ever doubt whether this would be like this or not? No. After staying 21 days without food, without anything except clear water in my body, fasting 21 days, looking at it, and having God to tell me what it'd be like didn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me if this whole thing had turned to gold in a moment. I'd just pull off my shoes and pop my bare feet and shout on it. He said it, do it. Woo! He's done it. Brother Jimmy, I said a lot of times, if I ever retired, I didn't want nothing but a little house and an organ in it and somebody to play it. But I decided I'd rather have this one and let everybody enjoy it than have that one. Yeah. So as a result, God done give me an organ to listen at and look at and shout about. Woo! He can give us far more than we ask for and a lot more than we think. Woo! Promised he'd do it. He's done it. And so we stop to recognize, my friends, tonight that the Word of God stands sure and steadfast. The Word of God never ceases. He said, where two or more shall agree as touching any one thing on earth, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. We pray that God would bring you here, and you come, brother. Some of you didn't want to come. You just wound up here. You wondered why? God brought you here. Cause we asked him, he said he would, and we got everything ready, and we prayed God would send you. Some of you started getting ready to come. And here you are. This word tells me that he answers prayer. You say, I don't believe in prayer. You ain't a word me, I do. God answers prayer. The word of God said he'd do it. He does it. He does it. He does it. I want you to realize tonight the word of God, if you please, gives us hope and assurance of our loved ones. What a sad day it'd be when we come to the end of the journey, if it is all then and no more. But as one by one I've followed the funeral coach and followed down the church aisles and saw the last one of my intermediate family placed away in the graveyard. But my friends, it don't bother me a bit, because they all told me they're saved. And he'll take care of me until he gets ready for me to go up there. And then he'll have them up there when I get there. Who? The Word of God. Assures me, my friends, that they'll be there. The Word of God assures me that you'll be there. And why should I worry about between now and there? It's the Word of God that comforts me when I lose my best friends and my loved ones. The Word of God, not the political forces, not the scientific forces, not societies and fraternities and clubs and entertainments and so forth and so on. All that bunch can do is go down the church aisle or go to the funeral home and gather around the cats and say, goodbye. This is all of it. Goodbye. But when they get through parching one by one, the entertaining world, the athletic world, the show business world, the political world, the social world, the club world, the fraternal world, all the other worlds come by and say, look, a good time, Percy, and say, goodbye. This is it. When they get through, the Word of God steps up and puts its arms around me and says, son, don't worry. Just say good night, and you'll be there in the morning. Woo! For all of the things of this world have come and said goodbye forever. The Word of God said it'll just be good morning after a while. Where there'll never be another night, where there'll never be another funeral, where there won't be any graveyards and hospitals, where there won't be any rest homes, where there won't be any weeping, where there won't be no funeral homes, where there won't be no homes for the poor. It'll be a home that's home forever. The Word of God, if you please, my friends, tonight I'd have you realize not only that, the Word builds up and strengthens Christians. It's our strength. It's our food. Let's look over in the book of Job for a moment. We find these words in the book of Job, the 23rd chapter and the 12th verse. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, the Word of God means more to me than biscuit and cornbread and greens and chickens and beef steaks. Because I won't keep me alive, but the Word of God keeps me strengthened and keeps me alive. Not only that, but we look again, my friends, and we see over in the book of Jeremiah these words in the 16th verse of the 15th chapter. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. The Word is going to bring us to it. And then we stop to realize something else. Only food for the soul then is the Word of God. You can't feed your soul on a bunch of stuff. You can't feed it on anything except the Word of God. It won't eat nothing but the Word of God. It won't live on nothing but the Word of God. I've got a soul, and the food for my soul is the Word of God. The food for your soul is the Word of God. You take the Word of God away, and your soul will starve and get lean and get weak. But my friends, the Word of God will strengthen your soul, feed your soul, make your soul clean. And then the Word of God cleanses us Christians. Let's look back in the book of Psalms again, the 119th Psalm, and listen to these words. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. My friends, the Word of God is such a thing. If you hide it in your heart, you won't sin against God. It'll keep you straight. It'll keep your life clean. It'll keep you going in the right direction. We stop to realize, he said, by thy word, by thy truth, I sanctify thee. It sanctifies us, and it cleanses the church. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and the 23rd verse, said, by the washing of the word, it cleanses the Christians. It gets us without spot and without blemish, getting ready for the supper, getting ready for the banquet hour, getting the wrinkles ironed out and the spots washed out. The Word of God will cleanse us. The Word of God will purge us like a detergent to get the dirt out of clothes. The Word of God will get the sin out of us. The Word of God will get the dirt out of us. The Word of God will get the wrinkles out of us and straighten us out and smooth us up and clean us up so we can walk in glory and shout when we go. Amen. It's the Word of God, my friends. Cleanses the church of all of its spots and wrinkles. The Word, my friends, would have you realize it unbinds sin-bound Christians. So many Christians are bound by sin, shackled by habits of sin. But the Word of God looses us. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. My friends, the Word of God will loose you from your old shackles of sin, where you're bound by sin and habits and sin. The Word of God will loose you and let you go for the glory of God. Loose you and let you live for God. It's the Word of God that unbinds a Christian from sin and his grave clothes of sin. The Word will fire up, if you please, the lukewarm Christian. Let's look over in Psalm 39 and 3 at these words. 39th chapter of Psalms and the 3rd verse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. When we get lukewarm, the Word of God gets to burning you up. And when the Word of God gets to burning you, it'll get you to moving. It'll get the lukewarm Christian heated up to where he'll go for God. And my friends, the Word is a burning thing. Old Jeremiah said, it's a fire in my bones, in the marrow of my bones. It's a fire, it's a burning, it's a heating me up, and I can't behave. If you get yourself full of the Word of God, it'll turn on the heat. It'll purge you, it'll purify you, it'll sanctify you. My friends, it's the refiner's fire that burns out all the dross and leaves nothing but the reflection of Christ in your life and in my life. And then in the book of Luke, when the disciples was going along up the road to Emmaus, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he explained the scriptures to us? Oh, it'll set your heart afire. The Word of God will turn the heat upon you. The Word of God will set you afire. And fire, if you please, a heat boils the water, and the water produces steam, and it'll put on the inactivities in you and start you to going. Here's a locomotive out here with its boiler full of water and the fuel box full of fuel. But my friends, the old locomotive got its brakes on. It won't even hold itself. But after a while, they open up the drafts
and the fire starts burning, the firebugs are rolling up around the boiler and begins to boil that water, and the steam gets in there, and the engineer pulls the throttles, and the hot steam hits on them cold inactive pistons, and she chugs away. Take off the brakes to go. What we Baptists need, my friends, is the fire of God's word turned loose on us. We've got the machinery, we've got the water of salvation, we've got the fire of the Holy Ghost, but we've kind of got modernized, and we've kind of got proud, and we've closed up the draft doors. The need of this hour for Baptist churches, pull open the drafts of our lives and let the Holy Ghost fire burn around our boilers of salvation and the water until it puts steam, hot steam on the pistons of inactivity. We'll not only go for ourselves, but we'll pull in some others behind us. The Word of God, if you please, my friends, will fire us Christians up, and as a result of it, we'll go for God. Then, my friends, the Word of God comforts Christians. Great peace comes to Christians. The 119th Psalm again. We find these words in the 165th verse in the 919th Psalm. Let me read it for you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. My friends, when we live in the ways of God, we've got great peace. And we realize, old Isaiah said, whose mind is stayed on God. When our minds are stayed on God, then, my friends, he comforts one another with these words. It's our comforter. It's what we comfort each other. Had you ever stopped to realize, if it wasn't for the Word of God, the promise of God's Word, the inspiration of God's Word, you wouldn't have any comfort? The thing that comforts me is something about God's Word tells me, gives me hope, encourages me, lets me know that somebody loves me. But without the Word of God, I wouldn't have any comfort. I wouldn't have any encouragement. The Word of God is important, my friends, because of those things. Then I recognize something else, our only hope. Then, if you please, if we're going to evangelize, it must be done by the Word of God. My friends, we must go forth sowing the Word of God. Hey, the Word of God is the seed of God. The Word of God is the thing that produces life. And you listen, you can have a place full of seed, but if it's not sown, it won't come up and produce fruit. And we must go out and sow the Word of God. It's the seed of life. It's the incorruptible seed. It's the seed that liveth and abideth forever. And we've got to go out and sow it, or it'll never come up. And we need to get out and get to sowing the Word. Some of it will fall on stony ground, and the birds will eat it. Some will get choked out in the riches of this world. Some will get this and wither. But thank God, a fourth of them at least will take root and grow, and as a result, be saved by the grace of God. So we must go sow the Word. It's the Word. It's not something else, my friends, that they need. It isn't entertainment they need. It isn't excitement of the world they need. It's the Word of God they need. Amen. We must go forth to sow the Word of God. As a result, it's the only food that a soul could ever enjoy. The seed is the Word. It's incorruptible seed. When we sow it, we don't have to worry about it. He said it's like the bread cast upon the waters. It'll come back. It'll bring something out while. Just keep sowing the precious seed. Those that go forth sowing in tears shall reap in joy. Bearing precious seed. Sow it. Sow the seed. Sow the Word. Sow the Word. Sow the Word. Not the method, not this, not that, not something else. Sow the Word. Water it with your tears of agony. And if you'll sow it and water it with tears, that'll make it sprout up and live and reproduce Christians. The Word is the thing that we must sow. I want you to know, my friends, the lost are blind. He tells us that the minds of the unbelieving is blinded. But the Word of God, God chose for the foolish of preaching to save them. Not the foolishness of entertainment, not the foolishness of something else, not the foolishness of, of a contest, not the foolishness of some athlete, not the foolishness of some movie star, but the foolishness of the preaching of the word. God chose to save our world, not by bringing some athlete to entertain. I get amazed sometimes. A bunch of these athletes will come and say they're Christian and go out and play ball on Sunday to attract thousands of people away from the church. That bunch of hypocrites ain't worth preaching to a bunch of billy goats, much less to humanity. My friends, it isn't the movie stars they need to hear. Didn't somebody jumping out of an airplane or some fellow getting the straddle of the church house swallowing a goldfish? What they need is the word of God. They're born by the word. If we're going to evangelize, we got to do it with the word. Not with entertainment. Not with something else. But by the word of God. By day, by night, preach it, teach it, practice it, live it. It's the word of God that will evangelize America. The word must have its place. The word must be in the midst of it. Lost or blind, but the word breaks the light. My beloved, the blind gets the light through the word. Psalms 119 and 130th verse. Listen to it. 130th verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word giveth light. Giveth understanding to the simple. Jesus said the way is so simple that a wayfaring man don't even know he'd be a fool. Don't have to get mixed up in it. Anybody's got sense enough to know if he gets in this world he had to be born. And you'll have sense enough to know if you get in the next one, you'll have to be born again. And to get born in this world, somebody had to give some seed to produce you. Get born in the next world, God's going to have to give you some of his seed to produce you. The word is the seed of God. And we need to realize that. It's not something else our people need. If we're going to evangelize, it's got to be done by the word of God. Faith comes by the hearing of the word. How can they believe in whom they've never heard? How can they hear except to be a preacher? How can the preacher preach except to be sent? And God bless your soul. Instead of sending out a bunch of movie stars and entertainers and singers and activities and so on, bless God, we need to pray God will send out some Holy Ghost God-fired preachers. That's the thing that's going to evangelize America, is men anointed of God, called of God, ordained of God, full of God, preaching God's word. It's not going to win this world by a bunch of entertainment. It's going to have to be done through the word of God. And I want you to realize, my friends, it's the entrance to light. Men are in the dark and they need to see the light. It's a lamp under their feet. It's a light under their pathway. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And they'll not come to light. You know the reason a lot of wickedness is gathering in our communities? Our lights are too dim. If we'll get ourselves full of the Spirit of God again in our churches, and he said, you're the light, let them shine. He said John the Baptist was a bright and a shining light. And if we get our lights bright enough, the devil's crowd's going to take to the bushes. You can't legislate it out of them. You can't elevate them. And you can't educate them. The only way to get rid of the devil's crowd is turn the light on. And the word is a lamp to the feet and a light to the pathway. And men whose deeds are evil will flee from the light because they don't want it to be seen. God, give us some light Christians. Shining bright Christians. Turn on your light. Turn on your light. Brighten up your light. Fill up your lamp. I remember when I was a boy back out in the country, we had these old kerosene lamps. And the oil, the coal oil, the kerosene get low in them. The light would get so dim. And mother would take that old lamp and go back in the side room of the kitchen. She'd screw the top of that lamp off and had an old gray stone jug, gallon jug, corn stopper. She'd pull that stopper out. Back through the wall, I can hear that old kerosene gurgle, 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 gurgle. Fill up that lamp, screw the wick back in it, and it'd start burning bright. You know what our Baptists need? Get back in some side rooms and stay till the Holy Spirit guggles us full. And we come out so bright, it'll hurt the eyes of the world to look at us. It'll put the devil's crowd to flight. Man can't stand the lie when their deeds are evil. So I want us to realize tonight, men are dead in sin, but the Word giveth life. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divideth asunder. The Word. That's what this place is pleading for. The preaching of the Word. The teaching of the Word. The practicing of the Word. Preach it. Let's evangelize America with the Word. The Word. It's the sword. It cuts asunder. It divides. It's powerful. It's quicker. Quickens. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Preach the Word. Teach the Word. Practice the Word. Evangelize America with the Word. The Word. The Word is the thing we need. The Word is the thing we plead for. It's the Word that we ask for. God help you to see it. This is my prayer. Brother Dollar, sing All Heal the Power.
Number one. All hail the power of Jesus.